This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is A's Cast Live, your comprehensive look at the Oakland Athletics.
Drive to deep center field. Going back, Hernandez at the track, right to the wall. Gone! Elvis Andrus!
And 29 other MLB clubs.
Guerrero lifts one to left field and gone.
Ohtani, that was a moonshot out there in the right center.
Alonso defends his title, the 2021 Derby champion.
Join us as we take you inside the baseball universe, from OPS Plus to juiced balls to game-changing moments. We have you covered. Spend your afternoon with us next from the town, only on A's Cast Live. Here's Chris Townsend.
Well, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to A's Cast Live. For everybody listening on the stream, if you're watching on YouTube or A's Cast, happy 4th of July, one of the great days on the baseball calendar where we've got a home game. This is like the first time in like the last 5 years we have actually been at home, going to have a firework night, which is going to be absolutely spectacular. It's a beautiful day here in Oakland as it's the start of a three-game set against the Toronto Blue Jays, and then we're going to have three games against the Houston Astros. Remember, it's a very light schedule, July at home for the Athletics. Great show for you today. One of the great voices of baseball and just in broadcasting in general, Dan Schulman, for years has done the Blue Jays. You also know him for all his work Sunday Night Baseball for years on ESPN, all the college basketball, college football that he has done on ESPN. The great Dan Schulman is going to be here. Stephen Piscotty will stop by the set here on A's Cast Live to talk about his return from the DL, what his expectations are for the rest of the season, and also Mark Appel, former number one overall pick by the Houston Astros out of Stanford, did make it, and then has resurrected his career back with the Phillies. It's an amazing story. They were roommates. We will at Stanford. We'll talk to Stephen Piscotty about that. And then the TV face of the Athletics, the great Glenn Kuiper, will be here at 4 o'clock. So Dan Schulman at 3:15, Stephen Piscotty, after BP-ish is what we like to say, which we have no idea. You can see BP. You can see everything that's going to be going on here on the field. That's the great part about doing A's Cast Live and putting it on YouTube, putting it on Twitter. And if you're listening, you're going, I'd like to watch it. We'll just go to the A's YouTube page, and then you can check it out. It lives there. You can watch it anytime you want. Or you go to it lives on our YouTube page. Did I say that?
Yeah, you're correct.
And then you go to Athletics Cast 24, and you can watch it there also on Twitter. So it depends where your social media, where you like to hang out. You hang out on YouTube. You hang out on Twitter. You can find us there, and you can watch this, as it gives you a very unique view of what it is like. Nobody's in the stands right now. There's people out there tailgating for 4th of July. You get to see how the players train. We got the bullpens going down here with Scott Emerson. We've got players warming up, and we're moments away from the action that you'll start to see. And when we play any type of taped interviews, we'll show you the players actually taking BP. We got the Toronto Blue Jays are out here now. Matt Chapman has just spoke to the media. I believe he's actually speaking to the media right now. We're supposed to have Matt Chapman tomorrow here on A's Cast Live. Will be interesting. We're not going to give him the stat that the commander has come up with about our old friend Matt Chapman, which is a little telling, a little scary. I'm going to allow you to tell it because you came up with it. I mean, I'm going to allow you to be – I'm nothing but positive on our nation's Independence Day. You can be negative,
well,
Nancy.
Well, if you want to be positive, then let's start with the most positive thing you can start with on 4th of July. And it's number 15 for
– Let me set this up.
All right.
I've heard a lot about, and we've talked a lot about, the greatest athletes in Bay Area sports history. To me, if we're going to talk about the greatest, you have to be from here. So, Willie Mays, you're out. Joe Montana, you're out. I'm ready to throw Ricky Henderson out. He wasn't born here. Grew up here, wasn't born here. But we are on Ricky Henderson Field, so we have to throw him in here because he came here, what, 2 years old or whatever?
Yeah, 2 years old.
So, Ricky, you just barely made it. But, you know, a lot of these guys we talk about, the great Jerry Rice, you're not in it. All those great Raiders, you're not in it. Warrior, Steph Curry's not from here. Klay Thompson's not from here. Rick Barry's not from here.
Draymond Green's not from here.
It's not Draymond's fault anyway. Everybody's still trying to blame him for I don't even know what.
Future Warrior Kevin Durant's not from here either.
Kevin Durant, rumors about wanting to come back to the Warriors. By the way, that is
– 6 years ago today.
If the NBA could be any more played out of the just petulant drama and just what these guys are really like. I do not miss the covering the NBA at all. These guys, oh, my God. But, I mean, am I missing anybody? We talk about the greatest of all time.
No, I think you got everyone, but you have
Joe DiMaggio, you were a Yankee.
And an A's coach, not a player.
I mean, you talk about the greatest athlete in the history of Bay Area sports. Johnny Miller, you're not in here with your two championships, your U.S. Open and your Open Championship. No, I know I'm leaving some people out because I've done this on Talk Radio before. We are giving you the greatest Bay Area athlete of all time. It's undeniable. And yes, he is a San Jose State Spartan. Hit it.
Down, but for now, George takes us home with Joey Chestnut.
Wounded, but very much alive, Joey, with another title.
Holds in that last one.
How many?
The final dogs get counted up. Wash it down. Joey Chestnut unofficially.
Wash it down.
63 hot dogs and bun.
That's
a winner by 20. Title number 15 for the greatest eater of all time.
The greatest competitive eater, the greatest Bay Area athlete, and a San Jose State Spartan did America proud. He brought home the hot dog eating contest championship, the mustard belt, as they like to call it. Truly the biggest event on the 4th of July in professional sports. And Joey Jaws is your champion. I'm just disappointed that 63 is a ho-hum effort. I know Joey Chestnut. I will try and get him on the program.
Yeah, friend of the pro. We've had him on a couple years ago.
I've actually had beers with him before. This was a pedestrian. I know he had the bad knee coming in. He was playing hurt today for our country. But 63, what's his record, like 70-something?
I want to say 76 might be his record. I didn't look it up, but I know it's in the 70s, high 70s.
So he basically just cruised through this today. This was like no competition whatsoever.
Not at all. I mean, 63 hot dogs, won by 20. He also fought off a protester on the stage mid-hot dog eating.
That is the greatness of Joey Chestnut, that he can take on protesters, he can take on non-Americans, he can take on Americans. He is one of the great Americans in 4th of July history, Joey Chestnut. I mean, he just walked up on me. Pick up the mic, let's go. You scared me when the greatness that is Ken Korak shows up.
You said I had a standing invitation.
All right,
I figured on July 4th, what better day to spend some time with you on your show?
When I think of America and Ken Korak, I think of July 4th.
You know, July 4th means a lot in baseball. And I think you and I have talked about this, especially in the minor leagues.
It's a huge
where
day.
If you get a really good crowd, that is such a big thing in the minor leagues. And when I started in A-ball up in Rohnert Park and you'd have a fireworks show after the game, people would flock to the ballpark. So that's a big thing. So it's the tapestry is kind of woven together.
And I think also, too, where people don't do fireworks shows like they used to. I just remember growing up, you know, and I remember not that long ago when my kids were young, like in San Jose, there were different spots in the city to go watch fireworks. We don't really have that as much as we used to. So a place that you can guarantee you have fireworks tonight here in the Bay Area is right here at the Coliseum.
And it's always been the best around, too. And it's unique in that people can go on the field and watch the fireworks from there, Chris. Now, this is a little unusual for us to literally be having fireworks on July 4th.
Yeah.
Oftentimes it's been on the 3rd, right?
Yes.
We were kind of joking about the traditional July 3rd fireworks at the Coliseum, but of course, we were in Seattle yesterday, and here we are on the 4th.
Yeah, I don't know.
With the Blue Jays, and they celebrated Canada Day on Friday. They had 44,000 people at the Rogers Center on Friday for their game against Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I was watching. I saw they aired a couple of their games against the Rays because they were big games in the AL East. So preparing for our game, I was watching those games, and they come in here not thrilled because the Rays, who have been struggling, got their groove back there at the Rogers Center against Toronto.
And, you know, the Blue Jays won the first two games of that series, and then Tampa Bay won the last three. They literally knocked Kevin Gausman out of the game in the doubleheader on Saturday with a line drive off his ankle. He went just two innings. I know you have Dan Shulman coming up here in a second. And he can give you a much better rundown on their club.
A Blue Jay rundown?
But I love their – I really like watching their guys play because they have young stars. They're fun to watch. So it's going to be a good matchup these next 3 days here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, we've talked so much, and we've talked with Dan about this as he's waiting in the wings here about, you know, when these guys start to grow up, the terrific athletes that they have. These guys are budding stars. You know,
absolutely.
You're going to see quite a few of them in L.A. at Dodger Stadium. They're growing up, and the names, you know, from their fathers. Remember, I just watching the games over the weekend on MLB Network, they had the Guerrero bobblehead, dad and son. And, pretty cool. So,
and dad was there.
Yeah, for, I guess,
throughout the first pitch, right? So, yeah, it's cool. So I'll defer to Mr. Dan Shulman. It's one of my favorite people in the game here.
Back to back great voices of the game here, and Dan Shulman,
you know,
and the great
you
Ken
Korak. Embellish a little bit, man. Well, I'll talk to you at 5:10.
You know, it's like you guys are going to be here for a hot minute and back on the road again.
That's true, and I'm actually going on this trip.
Which
is a headline, right?
Wait, where is the trip?
Texas.
Oh wow, you're doing that trip?
I am.
Oh, you got to go see your swing coach. That's what it is. I see. I know. See,
I thought about that, but that's,
I know Ken Korak.
That's a good idea. I hadn't thought about that. Yeah, I think I'll have to arrange that, man.
All right. Well, we'll have you back soon.
Sounds good, buddy.
The great Ken Korak here on a 4th of July as we're getting you ready for the A's and the Blue Jays. Dan Shulman, who we're going to have on here, as he's been a good friend of the program for many years, coming on, does a great job. Not only on ESPN, and we mention all the time on college basketball, college football, longtime voice of Sunday Night Baseball, now doing the Toronto Blue Jays. The Blue Jays come in here as a very interesting story. The whole AL East is an interesting story when you think about it. And come on now, because we're now on video. We're now doing this.
Oh, where
thing.
Am I? Okay, there we are.
We're now doing it
Good
on
thing I dress for it.
We're on YouTube. We're on
really?
Twitter. We're just not streaming anymore. We've nice. Graduated really.
Well, congrats. Congrats.
How are you?
I'm good. It's great to be here. I have not been here. I think the last time I was here was the wild card game. What year was that when Manaea pitched against the Rays? Is that right?
2019.
Yeah. I think it's the last time I've been here. So we're just glad to be anywhere. We didn't travel at all for 2 years, right, because of the border thing.
Yeah.
So we're glad to be everywhere these days.
Yeah, and I remember when we were talking to you on A's Cast Live about, you know, for you just to leave Canada to go do your work that you do for ESPN.
Yeah.
Then you'd have to go back home, and you had to quarantine.
For 14 days.
Life has been so different for you guys north of the border, and we're still talking about teams that go in with unvaccinated players can't play.
The unvaccinated guys are not crossing the border. Are not coming to Toronto. I mean, there is, and nobody knows this, there is a law about in the U.S. about that as well, that if you're not an American citizen and if you're not vaccinated, you can't come to the U.S. So Vladdy and Gurriel and Teoscar, they wouldn't be able to do it if they weren't vaccinated. So the law actually goes both ways, but everybody's focusing on the players who aren't coming to Canada. So for the Blue Jays, listen, it's a federal law. It's got nothing to do with them. And you know, for 2 years, they were at a significant disadvantage being nomads, you know, going, moving around, not having a home. So, and they can't sign or trade for unvaccinated players. They can't have anything to do with those players because they wouldn't be able to play in Canada, obviously, right?
So thought about that.
So, yeah, everybody thinks about it just on one side. So,
yeah.
We don't even talk about it that much anymore. Like, we know whenever any team comes, they – I would say some teams have not had any unvaccinated. I think the peak was four. I can't remember what the A's had. It was so long ago now. It was three or four,
I think,
for the
three.
A's. Yeah, three, yeah. So the peak was four. It's one of those, it is what it is, you know. So there's still a pandemic going on, and I mean, our borders are, if you're vaccinated, the border's totally open. You can go back and forth, do whatever you want. But if you're unvaccinated, there are still some issues going both ways, so.
I mean, you bring up a major point, which obviously, as you said, we're over here in America not thinking about it. But you're trying to win a World Series. You could have a guy that you've pinpointed and you say, I want that guy. Or there could be guys trading inside the organization. If they're not vaccinated, they're no good to you.
They're no good to us.
I mean, that's the start of the conversation between GMs.
Right. Well, I will tell you this. Kirby Snead is an Oakland A. He's not a Toronto Blue Jay anymore. Like, it's not a coincidence he was in the trade. So he couldn't be a Toronto Blue Jay this year. He was one of the guys who did not come to Toronto in April because he's not vaccinated. But to me, even it's interesting from a Yankee, Red Sox, Rays point of view. Like, what if the Red Sox are in Toronto for a playoff series in October? What if the Rays are in Toronto for a playoff series in October? Because the wild card round now is a 2 out of 3, but all of the games are in the ballpark of the higher seed. So for the Red Sox, for example, again, I don't want to make too big a deal out of it, but I'm just answering the questions you're asking.
No, it is a big deal because the Red Sox, if I remember correctly, reading in the old notes, they had multiple relievers that couldn't come to the series.
Tanner Houck was not there, and Jaron Duran, their center fielder, was not there. Cutter Crawford was not there, but I think he's on the IL. He's come off the IL. And I believe it has been reported Chris Sale, who's not yet on the active roster, but will be, that he's not vaccinated. Seattle, Robbie Ray. I was on Twitter like 3 weeks before Seattle came to Toronto, and I saw Robbie Ray posing for a picture with the Cy Young Award. And I went, well, that's odd. Why wouldn't he get the Cy Young Award in Toronto? Because they're coming here when he won the Cy Young Award. And then I said, he ain't vaccinated, and he didn't come. Now, if you're a starting pitcher, you can manipulate it a little bit, move a guy around so he misses the series. But for a playoff series, obviously you can't do that. But again, the Blue Jays, not that they're distancing themselves from it, but they're playing by the rules that are in place, just like they played by the rules that were in place the last 2 years when they had to play games in Dunedin and Buffalo. There's no question they were at a competitive disadvantage the last 2 years. And listen, obviously they're at a bit of an advantage this year if Tanner Houck and Jaron Duran and Chris Sale aren't coming to Toronto. But, you know, again, that they're worrying about them, about their team, and just trying to play the best baseball they can play.
So. You know, your voice is so iconic. And I know you downplay it, but, you know, for us, people have been in sports talk for a long time. We've played your highlights for so long.
And you're making me sound old here.
And, well, I've been in the business a long time
myself.
I'm
old-ish. I'm not quite old, so, but yeah.
But I think about it, you know, your time at ESPN, not only your time with the Blue Jays, and I just think about, like, you know, there are nights when we get done. I mean, you guys are way done, and I'll get done, and I go in, and I have my studio at home, and I'm just sitting there, and I'm watching Quick Pitch, and I'll be doing whatever, and boom, your voice comes up as they're doing the highlights. I mean, just what does that mean to you is all your work that you do have one of just your voice is so recognizable that our fans, even here on the West Coast, they know who you
are. So, honestly, I never, ever, ever think about it. I just – this is what I do, and the fact – you know, I get that I've worked for ESPN, so whether you're in Oakland or Seattle or Miami or New York, you know, whether it's baseball or college basketball, like I've been out there, but I don't – it's just my – it's my job. It's what I do. I go and I call the game, and then wherever that goes after that – is a different thing. But it's funny. Sometimes, you know, there are people in the U.S. who only know me for baseball. There are people in the U.S. who only know me for basketball, which to me is kind of funny. There are people in Toronto. So I started my career in Toronto. Then I went full-time to ESPN, and then I came back. I was gone, quote, gone, about 15 years. So a lot of people in Toronto have no idea. I come back, and it's like, who's this American guy coming to do Blue Jay games? And I'm like, ask your dad. He'll tell you who I am. You know, so, yeah. So, but I don't get caught up in all that. You know, everybody knows who they know. They follow who they follow. They watch what they watch. But I've been really, really lucky. Like, between baseball and college basketball, two sports I just love, you know, to have the experiences that I've had have been – it's really been a great ride.
Because the reality is the college basketball crowd is far different from the baseball crowd.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. In different parts of the country. Like, in Indiana, I'm a basketball guy. But in, I don't know, pick a city, maybe in St. Louis, right? Because I did, back in those days, in my ESPN days doing baseball for them, did a zillion Cardinal games, I'd be a baseball guy. So, but again, I got enough to worry about without focusing on how I'm viewed or who, you know, that kind of stuff. So I just, I like going to the ballpark or going to the arena, punch the clock, do the game, go home, lay low. Rinse, repeat. Just do it again.
the national holidays are big in our sport. And I was watching your guys' game against the Rays on Canada Day. You were on MLB Network.
Oh, really? They showed ours? I didn't even know that. They showed us on MLB.
They showed – I watched two of getting ready for our game. Yeah. I'll sit there and watch MLB Network. You guys had first game of the doubleheader on Saturday, was it? Was it Saturday?
Well, Canada Day was Friday.
That game was on. Yeah. And I want to say the first game of your doubleheader was on.
That's good because it seems to us whenever our game is on MLB Network, it always seems like they use the other carrier. Like there's some don't use the Canadian show kind of thing. So I'm glad to hear we were on.
That's how
I didn't even know we were on.
That's
so.
The only reason why I knew that there was the Guerrero bobblehead.
It was the Vlad and Dad. Yeah, that's right. Oh, so you
broadcast.
Heard me promoting the hell out of that.
Yes,
yeah.
I was there.
There were people. So that game Saturday, the first game started at noon Toronto time. At 8 a.m., there were thousands of people lined up because they were giving away 15,000 of those. But they were going to get a crowd of 40,000. So that means 25,000 unhappy people. So I got down there, noon game, 8:30, 8:45, and I mean it was lined up around the ballpark. So obviously Vlad Jr. is a huge deal. Vlad Sr. played for Montreal, and that's a thing in Toronto. It's still Canada. They wear the same number. They have the same name. Sr. was in the ballpark. He threw out the first pitch. Jr. caught it. It was a good vibes day. It was really fun. So, our fans love bobbleheads. And this the Vlad and Dad one, I think, is the most popular one we've ever had.
So when you think of the holidays, Canada Day, now 4th of July, baseball, just what does it mean as a broadcaster being on and knowing that these days mean so much to these countries?
Right. So Canada Day is huge. The Blue Jays wear red. Everything in the ballpark is red. All the graphics and everything is red. I think the CN Tower is lit up red. And we really dig Canada Day there. Like, Canadians are not all that good at saying, hey, look at us. That's not kind of our style. But Canada Day, we kind of let it go a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
And listen, no country is perfect, but – I think most Canadians love Canada, and I'm one of them, and love being from Canada. And we kind of blow it out that day pretty good, and it was really fun. And on Canada Day, the day before, the giveaway was a red Springer Blue Jay jersey, so everybody was wearing red in the ballpark. And then 4th of July, whether it's for the Blue Jays, but more for ESPN, I've done a million of 4th of July games, and it's great. You know, the whole sports, politics, nationalism thing is complicated sometimes. And honestly, on my way to the ballpark today, I'm just thinking about, oh, Alec Manoah is starting, the Blue Jays need a win, Boston beat Tampa Bay. I'm just thinking about that kind of stuff. But I'm hoping there's a good crowd tonight. I don't know what the crowd will be. I'm assuming there are fireworks after the game tonight, so which is always great. So, yeah, it's always, you know, even whether it's Memorial Day in the U.S., Victoria Day in Canada, Labor Day in either country, all those special days are fun to do games.
Yeah, there's a good chance you're going to see Manoah tonight, and then you're going to see him at Dodger Stadium on the 19th.
Oh, yes.
What a year he's having.
Yeah.
And I want to get to your young guys. And they're not really young guys anymore, but how's it going with our guy Matt Chapman?
He's doing great. So offensively, I would say a little up and down, a little hot and cold. You know, he's not hitting for the average he would like to. He's hitting for power. He's been a tough luck guy. We always talk about it. It feels like he leads the majors in 380-foot outs this year. I mean, he's hitting a lot of balls to the track, to the wall that are getting caught. The defense has been everything you guys saw for 5 years. It's been great, absolutely great. So he's fitting great in the clubhouse. He's become a leader in the clubhouse very quickly. Everybody loves him in the clubhouse. You know, I don't venture too far in, but it looks like he's in the cool group in the clubhouse. He's hanging with those guys. He's in charge of a lot of the music. I know that, whether it's on the plane or in the clubhouse. So And I think he's been great for, you know, for a guy like Bo Bichette, for a guy like Santiago Espinal, Kevin Biggio, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. I think Chapman's been great for them. I know Charlie Montoyo loves him. He goes out of his way to talk about him all the time. So it's great. They needed a third baseman. They really, really needed a third baseman. And he's with them for this year and next year, and that's great.
Okay, so I got it in the notes, and it's hard to believe. Now, you guys haven't faced a lot of left-handed pitchers.
Right.
And you've got a bazillion right-handed hitters.
That's why we haven't faced a lot of left-handed pitchers.
And you haven't done well against left-handed pitchers.
No, it's like it happens so infrequently, it's like they kind of have to reboot their hard drive in order to figure out how to hit a lefty. So Cole Irvin will be interesting because he dominated them in one start last year, and they crushed him in the other. So who knows what we'll get tonight. He's the kind of guy who can give them trouble. You know, fastball in, change up away. They can get a little anxious and roll over and hit a lot of ground balls to third and short. So we'll see what happens. But they're swinging the bats well. 2 months ago, the pitching was great and the offense was really struggling. Now the offense is great and the pitching has some cracks in the ice. So we'll see. But they're swinging the bats really well. And, I mean, he can shut them down. There's no question. But he'll have to be on his game to shut them down tonight.
Two biggest comebacks, and we'll end on this. Two biggest comebacks in baseball history from July 4th on. 73 Mets were 11.5 games back. And then our kind of famous 2012, we were 10.5 games back and then reeled in the Rangers.
Right.
I just think about the Yankees. I think about the East. I think about the extra wild card. I mean, it's kind of like, if you're in the West or the Central right now, long way to go, you better win your division because everybody might be coming out of the East.
It could be.
Just what is it like and how do you see it going the rest of the way, kind of like the halfway point?
So as our manager, Charlie Montoyo, says, it's like every divisional game is a playoff game, whether it's in April or October. You know, the Red Sox are good. The Rays are good. And the schedule is so imbalanced, too. Like, here's the funny thing. Baltimore is not bad. Baltimore is a 500 team outside
good
of the
bullpen.
American League East. Very good bullpen. So I think everybody in the East is looking forward to next year when the schedule is a little bit more balanced. You play more interleague games and not as many interdivisional games. The Blue Jays are assured of nothing right now because a Minnesota or a Cleveland, you know, two teams could sneak out of there, or the White Sox could get hot, something like that. The West, it kind of feels like one team, but we'll wait and see. But for the Blue Jays and the Red Sox and the Rays, you got to play well. It's there are no really easy stretches of the season. You might have a week where you say, okay, we play them and them, but then boom, it's Yankees, Rays, Red Sox coming right after that. So the Jays have done okay within their own division, and I think they're good enough to be a playoff team, but they need some pitching help. They're going to make a couple of moves in the next few weeks. They have to.
He's a legend, and it's always great to have him on. We appreciate the time.
You got it.
Always have
good
a good
to see
broadcast.
You. Thank you.
And we got more coming up next right here on A's Cast Live.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey. Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
The Coliseum has gone by many names, but none better than The Last Dive Bar. Hi, everyone. Ken Korak here, and my friends at Last Dive Bar are helping us celebrate our longtime home. Last Dive Bar has the most unique merchandise for all Oakland baseball fans. T-shirts, sweatshirts, the Ray Fosse line, and my personal favorite, the lights have taken full effect. Visit their website at lastdivebar.com or follow them on social media at Last Dive Bar. All proceeds are invested back into the A's Community Fund and their affiliated charities. Go to lastdivebar.com. That's Last Dive Bar.
Streaming from the East Bay, A's Cast Live continues with Chris Townsend.
Oh, we're live on the field. Happy 4th of July. What are we having for dinner?
Oh, I don't know. My wife's coming. We're going to the game, so I don't know.
You know,
whatever the box meal is.
Can I throw a little honesty here on A's Cast Live? You know, when you hear Cody complain, or you hear anybody else in the A's Cast Live family complain, like Jessica Kleinschmidt's over there, you know, whether it's Jessica, she's waving hi, or it's Cody. Jessica's been off in Reno hanging out. Cody's been at the beach. They're all getting paid, holiday pay. Was I at the beach yesterday? I didn't go to the beach yesterday. Am I getting holiday pay? You collected two checks yesterday.
No, I didn't. I did it all on my own
dime. See, now, I had to work.
The beach is free. My wife,
she's
we took my
at
wife's
the
car.
Beach. He's going to the game today. Where was I
but
yesterday?
But I'm working right now.
Where? On holiday pay. Am I getting holiday pay?
Well, that's the point of being a clock-in, clock-out employee.
I'm not getting holiday pay. I wasn't at the beach. I'm not hanging out in a casino in Reno like Jessica Kleinschmidt. I'm working. Her stuff was taped yesterday. I have to be live. I got to be here every day. But do I complain? Do I ever complain? That's all I'm saying.
Actually, Kotze was taped, too.
What?
Kotze was taped yesterday.
Just come on. I don't want to hear about Reno. I want to hear about what did Matt Chapman have to say. Anything good? Or are you saving that for
me? I'm saving that for you. I'm not going to do that right now.
Do a tease into the camera. Tease me something that we will have. A's Total Access brought to you by
Chevron.
So it will be me and I don't remember who I had. It'll be Ken and Vince. What me with Ken and Vince. Then it's going to be me and Dan Shulman.
Yeah.
And then you'll be in segment three because that's your segment.
Am I going to get more than 3 minutes this time?
That had nothing to do with me. You realize I don't control that.
I want to get mad at somebody and you're here, so.
But you know I don't control the timing of that show. Right. I just work.
Yeah. Well, I have tons to talk
about.
You
know who to complain to and get on.
Yeah. No, there's tons to talk about. Chappie, of course, was asked about the wanting to have a new stadium, so that was kind of interesting. That's something that he's always actually brought up to me in every interview I've ever talked to him about.
Yeah.
And then he just talked about all the best friends he made along the way. He's going to actually face his main BFF, one Mr. James Kaprielian.
They're boys. Cap married him, right?
Cap was there. He did the officiating. So not just the fact that they're best friends, but you've seen how Cap is. He's a huge competitor, and so is Chappie. So it'll be interesting to see what they do, and then how he wanted to make sure he got here a little bit extra early. Chappie did because he wasn't quite sure where the visitors' locker room was. There's other stuff to talk about too.
Really?
Yeah.
It's like it's literally 20 yards away.
I will say, it happens every time I ever talk to a guy who. Is we either get him, we acquire him, or we let him go. They always get lost finding the clubhouse.
You've heard this.
Well, the entrance is just funky.
You've heard this so much over the years about when a player had spent his career, I didn't know where to. It's almost like it's like a cliche thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, literally, there's not ballparks where the clubhouses are that far from each other because they're both built to go down to the dugouts if you look how it works. So they're not that far. It's not like one's in center field and one's behind home plate. I hear that all the time. You go, really? You can almost see the other day. Back in the day at Candlestick, the two clubhouse doors looked at each other.
Oh.
So I don't think you could have a hard time figuring out which one's yours. But you're a little young for that.
That's right. I'm so young.
You're
Tony.
Like, you just got in this business. I mean, when you just, I mean, you're out
I'm
of high.
I'm so young.
You're just out of high school.
Yeah.
By the way, how was Reno? Biggest little city in the world.
Well, I was in Reno and Sacramento. It was fantastic.
What were you doing? You were covering the Aces?
I was doing color for the broadcast with the Aces. So I was joining Zach Bayrudy, you guys know.
Yeah.
So I was doing color for him for six games, and it was absolutely amazing.
The only time, I think I've told you every year we do the guys' football trip up to Reno.
Mm-hmm.
And stay at the El Dorado. And you can see into the Aces ballpark from the El Dorado.
It's really cool, yeah.
But a lot of the time there's snow on the ground.
Yeah.
So I've never been there. It looks like a beautiful ballpark.
It's really nice. It's relatively new compared to a lot of other minor league ballparks. And food's always dope. The music's good. And you're right near all the casinos. And there's like a built-in bar. And then there's an outside bar. A few bars there, obviously. But it's really fun. And I was just so thankful that Bayrudy hosted me. And then, of course, got to meet Johnny Dosk. He's fantastic.
Dosk, yeah.
He's amazing. So it was really cool.
Yeah, you are right across the street from Silver Legacy, El Dorado, Circus Circus, yeah. Bowling Hall of Fame's right there. You're downtown Reno.
Mookie
Everything's
Betts
there.
Pitched or bowled a perfect game there once.
Did he really?
He did. He's a big bowler. He did, yeah.
We got our trip going to be up there if anybody wants to roll and see us in Reno and watch football with us and bet. Going to be there Veterans Day. And I'm going to go see Jerry Seinfeld is there.
Oh, where
That's
is he
Saturday
at?
Night.
Is he at GSR?
It's at the event center.
Oh, okay, Lawler. Oh, he gets a whole Lawler event center.
It's just down the.
Yeah, that's really cool.
You want one of my famous back in my big drinking days?
Sure.
We ended up at the Paula Abdul concert there.
Yeah.
Yeah, me dancing with a lot of ladies who a lot older than even I am.
I was going to say that's probably a great place to catch women.
No.
Okay.
No. Okay. Unless you're in retirement and you're looking for, but we still had a great time.
That's what matters.
Me, Paula Abdul, Reno.
Yeah.
We'll never forget.
That's amazing. That's a great story.
You have no idea what can happen to me in Vegas and Reno. I have great stories in the Silver State,
I can promise you I have better Reno stories than you.
You should. You're from there.
Yeah. Some good
All ones. Right. We will see you in segment three of A's Total Access and there is a guy named Robert Koss is listening right now. So if you want to say about your 3 minutes, hey, you have your form.
Oh, now I'm intimidated. So.
Oh, now you're worried?
Now I don't know.
Actually,
anything.
It's not Robert's fault. I just like to blame Robert. It's the fact that Vince goes long, Ken goes long, everybody goes long.
Yeah. No, I get it, and I usually do, but I actually like
you usually go long
because I have a big mouth. So, but I told Robert I love the challenge of being able to. Cut it down to 3.5 minutes. It just happened to be a very important subject to me now that I've spent a week covering major or minor league baseball.
And then now I end up, just to take you behind the curtain, I've got to make up all these times. Like, you know what gets cut? That really pains me. I mean, I'm so upset when I have to cut my injury report and my mechanics bank scoreboard. Mm. And
stat of the day.
It pains me to not have to go the full time.
Yeah.
Really pains. Quickly. Pitch clock. I screwed it up yesterday. I realized I said pitch com. The pitch clock in minor league baseball, yay, nay.
I'm going to say yay.
Big fan?
And like I said, and I don't know if I told you this, but a veteran player actually, because I tweeted a photo of it or Instagrammed a photo of it, a veteran player responded to me in the big saying that they need it here.
It speeds up the game by like a lot.
A lot. I didn't have one game over 2 hours and 45 minutes.
That's like the average time for AAA games anyway, so that's good.
Seriously.
It was fantastic. I mean,
Seriously.
It sucked for me doing color because I do talk a lot, and I had to get through my stuff quite quickly, but I absolutely adored it.
Seriously.
At the beginning, it was weird, and I know they have some adjustments to do because there's some automatic balls and strike rule or automatic ball rules that kind of feel very slow-pitch softball-ish, so I think those kinks are going to be ironed out, but other than that, I'm very much in favor.
I mean, if you're telling me I've heard 215 – 220-ish, and even if you take me down to 245, I mean, how many nights are we sitting here at 3 hours and 15,
yeah.
3 hours and 30? That's a huge difference in timing, and I think – and that is the thing, as a guy that's got kids, and all the nights that, you know, here I work for the team, I have my seats, and I can't bring my kids because my kids got to – By the time you get home, by the time they got to get to bed for school the next day, if you could give me 230, that's a game changer.
And that was that's what we dealt with. And even the automatic strike zone, I got some pretty solid feedback from major league players on that, too, that they would like it. There wasn't as much drama. There wasn't a lot of, you know, reactionary stuff at the plate. And Shelby Miller, we watched him pitch. You know, of course, he's a former veteran himself or is a veteran. And he added some questionable call lingo to his face, and he couldn't do that because he was essentially arguing with the computer. So it was interesting to see him adjust to it as a guy who's spent years in the bigs.
Just on this road trip alone, we saw the A's, Marcotte got thrown out. I mean, we've seen it where all of a sudden the umpire becomes a story behind home plate. There was a Tony Kemp call that was clearly a ball called for a strike. Next hitter, who was it, Laureano or whoever, got up and hit a home run the next at bat.
Yeah.
There was the Aaron Judge stuff that happened in New York.
I mean, oh, yeah. Aaron.
The low strikes. He's like 48. Going into the weekend, he had like 48 low strikes called on this year. It's like it was like 8 or 9 more than any other player in the league.
Well, the reality is if you use the computer strike zone, the animated automated
Automated
would be Pixar. Automated strike zone, all of a sudden Aaron Judge's strike zone would be so tall.
Yeah.
And it should be. See, this is what, as from a pitching standpoint, what bugs me is letter of the law is supposed to be the bottom of your letters, so the bottom of the NY down should be a strike zone, should be a strike on him. You want to know why he hits so many home runs? Is because they make his strike zone his where his wheelhouse is. If you think of where his bat path is, but all of a sudden, if I can pitch him up here, and now he would have to be up here. Think about a guy 6'7".
Yeah.
If I'm coming off the mound and I'm throwing to a guy 6'7", I'm throwing as hard as I can right here. How Aaron Judge, how it would be weird for a pitcher to have to throw a ball that high. But once you got used to that on Aaron Judge, there's no way. Everything for him is right where his bat path is, and he hits it out. If he had to raise it and they called his real strike zone, his stats wouldn't even be close.
Yeah, absolutely. And they were
here I am on the guy who's probably going to be the MVP. Yeah, I'm coming down his road.
Well, the thing that was interesting was some of these calls that – and I've talked to pitchers about it before. You know, they want – they know a certain umpire is going to call some of their specialty pitches especially, and that could kind of help them out, especially the veteran guys who just have been working with certain guys behind the plate for years. And so that's going to be an adjustment as well. And I saw some pitches that could have easily been different from an umpire being called just by himself without the automated strike zone. But there's also – there were some technical difficulties where the automated strike zone stopped working because there was, like, a glitch or something, and they had to go back to the original call. So that could alter an entire game if you had the first six innings automated and then the last three with the regular call. So that's interesting as well, too.
I wonder if it will make – and they won't admit it now, but over time – make umpires better, because they're going to sit behind home plate and they're going to see pitches and they may say, well, that was a ball for me, but it was called a strike. Maybe it will actually start to show them, because we know they each have their own individual strike zones.
Yeah.
But if you're sitting there for, let's call it 2 hours and 45 minutes, and something else is calling balls and strikes, they may learn that their strike zone has been wrong all these years.
Yeah, and that's an adjustment overall. And like I said, it was kind of interesting. Like Austin Dean struck out. He really, really struggled against Ryan Nelson last night. And he was really unhappy with a couple of the calls, whether they were his own or not. And he was just getting mad. And all he just got mad at himself. He can't take it out on anybody else. And I feel like that could be just an emotional, weird mental situation to have to deal with as time goes on. But he couldn't yell at anybody, but just get upset with himself for not for striking out. It's weird.
Maybe a new form of accountability.
That's what I'm saying.
As a pitcher, hey, this is the strike zone. You're not throwing strikes, you know, because another situation that we had up in Seattle, there was a pitch. I think it was a pitch that Lou walked a guy to lead off the game, that Lou wanted that strike. And Lou was angry about it. Everybody was angry about it. People are chirping. But you go to MLB.com, and you could see exactly where the pitch was. It was outside.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like you're going to have maybe a new form of accountability that everything – because it's very early. It's very easy in that moment for everybody in the dugout and the pitcher and the catcher to blame the umpire.
Yeah.
But now if it's a computer and we know that, and as time goes by, and we see it in tennis, Wimbledon's going on right now, that the computer doesn't lie. It's
yeah,
right.
I agree.
That all of a sudden it's like, no, Jack, this is on you. Have some accountability. You're not throwing strikes as a pitcher or as a hitter. You're not pulling the trigger. That was a strike.
It reminds me of when my little brother would get mad when he was playing against the computer and he would blame the controller when really he just sucked at the game.
Yeah, sometimes you have to do that.
Yeah, sometimes you just got to throw the controller at the – well, don't do that. Boys are so weird with their video games. Just, like, play it on lower level mode. Humble yourself and then
oh,
get back
wow.
up there.
Wow. That's just shots fired right there on the 4th of July. Well, we will see you in segment 3.
I can't wait, Townie.
You teased just enough.
I did.
Just enough.
Perfect.
We got more coming up next right here on A's Cast Live.
Coliseum has gone by many names, but none better than The Last Dive Bar. Hi, everyone. Ken Korak here, and my friends at Last Dive Bar are helping us celebrate our longtime home. Last Dive Bar has the most unique merchandise for all Oakland baseball fans. T-shirts, sweatshirts, the Ray Fosse line, and my personal favorite, the lights have taken full effect. Visit their website at lastdivebar.com or follow them on social media at Last Dive Bar. All proceeds are invested back into the A's Community Fund and their affiliated charities. Go to lastdivebar.com. That's lastdivebar.com.
Streaming from the East Bay, A's Cast Live continues with Chris Townsend.
Happy 4th of July, everybody. Coming up here in just a little bit, Stephen Piscotty is going to stop by. Looks like he'll have a little bit of a tight schedule to get to as they have a hitters meeting. So we'll try and get him on, get a few seconds with him to talk about what's going on. Matt Chapman back in the ballpark. And I know Cody has been dying to give you this stat. I'm not, you know what? I have it in front of me.
I'll do it. Yeah, I'll be that guy.
You're like excited to throw him under the bus.
Stop throwing him under the bus.
Okay,
go ahead. It's just highlighting he's not the same guy he was offensively. What do you think he's hitting over the last 365 days, according to Baseball Reference?
So that would be over the last calendar year.
That's correct.
I'm going to say, since I have it in front of me, but I'll say 235.
You're about 34 points off in the wrong direction. He's hitting 201, 27 home runs. Okay. He hits a lot of home runs. 67 RBI. Okay. A 694 OPS.
That's not good. That's not good.
And 173 strikeouts.
That's not good.
And that's over 502 at-bats.
That's not good.
That's not Joey Gallo numbers, but those aren't good. Remember, he was second in baseball last year in strikeouts behind only Joey Gallo. He had 200 strikeouts. That's not good. And he's, I think this year.
What is he hitting right now?
Right now, he's hitting 215, 11 home runs, 37 RBI, a 685 OPS, and 73 strikeouts, and 261 at bats. Yeah. But he has a 1.1 WAR.
See, that's where I would love to break down his offensive WAR. And take his defense out.
Let me look at
Take his defense out.
Let me.
Because I'm going to be honest with you. He is the best defensive third baseman I have ever seen.
Better than Arenado?
Yes. You don't think he's better? He's got a better arm. He's got better range.
I tend to agree, but a lot of people think Arenado. I mean, Machado gets a lot of love, but he's a shortstop.
Well, a lot of people haven't seen Chapman.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, unless they're now getting to see him. Yeah, you wait a couple of years playing in the American League East, and they're going to try and put Matt Chapman in the Hall of Fame for his glove. His glove, he is the best. But with that said, what are we looking at from a standpoint of what is he, you know, your third baseman being great defensively? That's huge. But I need more than defense at third base. It's a corner infield spot. I want production. I want offensive production. Especially from a guy that is in his prime. This is his prime. If you want to go cliches like you always do, Cody, this is his back of the baseball card moments. This is when you make the hay in your career. 28, 29, 30, this is who you are, this is you at your very best. So where is he in a hitter's ballpark? Because that's exactly what the Rogers Center is. Same thing that I said. You want to be consistent? I said the same thing about Josh Donaldson. When Josh Donaldson was traded to the Toronto Blue Jays, I said on 95.7 The Game on my talk show, watch, he will win an MVP.
And he did the next year.
And he did the very next year. I said, watch, he's going to be an all-star. Not only was he an all-star, he got the most votes. He's the last A to be voted in as an all-star.
That's facts.
He got the most votes out of everybody when he was playing for the Toronto Blue Jays. He was in his prime. He's playing in the American League East. He's playing in ballparks that are bandboxes. Everything's a bandbox other than Tampa. And Tampa's a dome, so you're hitting in 72-degree weather. But Baltimore was a bandbox.
Not anymore.
Rogers Center ball flies.
Yankees, for sure.
Yankee Stadium short porch in left field. Forget about center field, but left field short porch. And JD had the ability to go to right center, short porch. Boston, you're flipping a sand wedge off the Green Monster. Yeah. It's nothing. I mean, of course, JD was in his prime. I said it. This guy's going to be a monster. Well, that has not translated to Matt Chapman, who, he's 28, right? About to be 29?
Yeah, he might be 29 already.
And you're telling me his numbers are 215 with a 685 OPS?
He has a point, according to Baseball Reference's WAR, or B WAR, he has a point 0.8 offensive war and a 0.5 defensive war.
So a
that seems kind of low, but
a 0.8 offensive war.
Yeah,
he's basically a league average player.
Yeah, Chapman's 29. He turned 29 at the end of April, so he'll be
30. Oh, he's 29.
He'll be 30 next year.
Oh boy,
he'll be 31. I think when he's a
going. And we'll have him on tomorrow, and we're gonna say all the things that we appreciate everything he did and the platinum gold gloves and all that kind of stuff and what he did for the A's, and he was a part of a very good run in Oakland A's baseball, but. That was the whole thing, and I had a caller recently challenge me on it, talking about the players, and I've been honest. The players that the A's have lost, if you look at just purely from a business standpoint, you have missed nothing with the amount of money you're now paying Marcus Semien and Matt Chapman. It's reality. Marcus Semien is going to be in his 30s and be ending this contract in his not mid-30s anymore.
Late 30s.
At $175 million. He's not having a great year.
He did his 10th home run today, but his batting average is nowhere near what it normally is.
Everybody hits home runs.
That's true.
Who doesn't hit home runs? Oh, this Oakland A's team doesn't hit home runs. But
Luis Arraez from the Twins, who might be the next Rod Carew.
But it's – our game has gotten weaker because of that. Well, he's hit some home runs. He's hit home run. Look, you got the fancy cart coming in here. Look at all you get to see on A's Cast Live. And they got the lights blinking. But, yeah, you give me 10 home runs. How many are solos? How many of them are in game? What was the score when you hit these home runs?
I think the home run they hit today put them ahead in the ninth. And then Adley Rutschman tied the game in the ninth, and then they won on a walk-off.
You know how many times these guys hit home runs when the game's already in doubt?
Chris Davis is on the phone.
Which Chris Davis?
Either.
No.
Oh, actually, early in Chris Davis' career here, it was
– those 3 years, Chris Davis hit 40-plus home runs.
His home runs
for the majority of the time were when the score was close, if not putting the A's ahead.
He did
Do not say that about our Chris Davis.
Didn't he just sign somewhere, too, he sent me?
He signed with
the Atlantic League
with the team in Newark, New Jersey.
And the Atlantic League.
Yeah.
My wife's cousin was playing in that league.
So, but, yeah, I mean, when you hit low twos and, you know, now that we have, whether you want to go war or you go weighted runs created plus, we have ways to measure you. And the measurements aren't great. And for the amount of money that you're paying, your return on investment is nothing special. And that's why you look at it and you go, well, you know, Matt Chapman turned down $150 million. I mean, guys hit 215. Are you bummed that you don't have a guy hitting 215 with an OPS under 700?
That OPS is, I mean, that's low.
I mean, it's well, that's what happens when you don't hit.
Like Juan Soto's hitting 226. With more walks than hits, but he has an 830 something OPS.
Yeah, I mean when you do have that, I mean it's the bottom line. It's the and for the amount of money you're paying, you look at the return on investment. Stephen Piscotty's with us here on A's Cast Live. Now, you've been on this program many a times, but this is the first time you're doing it. Now we're on video.
We have video.
They
nice.
Get to see
Should
you
I get
now.
Over here so you can see me?
Yeah, we All get right. to see you now. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Life is good. Great to have you back. Good to see you healthy.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate that. It's been a long road back, but great to be here.
Like, just tell people just how much rehab and being away from the team, just how much that just sucks as a player.
Yeah, it definitely kind of will suck the energy out of you at times, but you just got to keep pushing through and put your work in, and, you know, they work us pretty hard, and you leave feeling each day that you got better. So you just try to chase that while you're on the IL, and then get ready to go.
And how much do you also have to say, I want to be back so bad, but I got to listen to them because sometimes they got to save you from yourself?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's a bit of the – bit of the battle sometimes, the players and the training staff. But it's all, you know, coming from a good place of wanting to get back out on the field. And, you know, with the calf this time around, you know, I tried pushing and hit a day where it kind of flared up on me and had to realize that the calf is a tricky injury and that, you know, look at a lot of guys that have had major setbacks and didn't want to have that, obviously, this year. So after that little flare-up, let it calm down and got back to it, and thankfully it's been good ever since.
Yeah, people need to realize whether I've hurt my calf, and you start talking about the calf and the Achilles tendon, and there's like there it's you got to have your rest and you got to let it get back, or things cannot be good. But I can tell you this, having you back, middle of the order in my scorebook, I write Piscotty. I don't care if you're in right, you're DH. It makes me feel good. Because it's like you're bringing some lumber back to this offense that really needs it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to do my part, and I think we're all trying to, you know, do our part. And, you know, it's definitely been a bit of a tough go of late trying to get runs across. You know, but everyone's battling and everyone's working. There's a lot of fight in this team. We're continuing to fight, and we're going to get better.
Well, that's one thing I think for, you know, the first year of Mark Kotze, and he said it to us down in Mesa, like, hey, no matter what the record is, no matter what happens, no matter who's here, this team is going to fight every game because, you know, there's certain teams, things start to go bad. Everybody, you know, the team splinters, as they say back in the day, they say 25 different cabs to the ballpark. You have not seen that with this team. Just talk about how this team still fights hard every day before, after, during, the fight's still there.
Yeah, there's an expectation of effort level for sure. And, you know, I think, you know, we're in these games. I don't feel like we're getting blown out by any means. I mean, we're remaining competitive. We're kind of having to relearn how to win some games. You know, we're letting a few slip away. But, again, we're just fighting. And this is kind of part of the state of this team right now. And, you know, you look at certain guys like Laureano, you know, in Cleveland, you know, getting the guys fired up and that sort of thing. There's a lot of determination. There's no one taking it easy right now.
And you got a Blue Jay team coming to town. They got a lot of firepower. 4th of July, you got fireworks tonight. Just for you guys, what does playing on 4th of July mean to you?
Oh, it means everything. You know, a lot of the Memorial Days and July 4th, and these are really awesome days to kind of, you know, show your appreciation to, you know, the country and that sort of thing. And, you know, there's always a lot of fans. You got the fireworks. You got the excitement. We got Matt Chapman, you know, on the opposing side. It should be a really fun atmosphere. And, you know, we love playing in that kind of environment.
You know, you've now played a while. You know, what's it like when you have a teammate, a guy that you went to battle with, you like a lot, and you've had to do this multiple times in your career? What's it like then playing against him?
You know, it's a little weird the first couple innings. Just it doesn't look right seeing that former teammate in a different uniform. But after, like you said, being through it a few times, you know, it's just business. It's business of baseball. It's and there's another layer behind all the stuff that, you know, we're focused on, and it's just the way things are. And it might not sit well, but that's the way it is.
You know, one of the great comebacks, Mar, is your old roommate. He's making a comeback, and we talked about it, and he was on MLB Network, and your name got mentioned. I'm like, God, I knew that they were at Stanford the same time, but I didn't realize. You guys lived together.
Yeah, we were roommates our last 2 years. We were very close. He grew up in Danville and went to Monta Vista, and I was at Amador, so we played against. We always known each other. You know, through travel ball and that sort of stuff. And then, yeah, so it was a natural fit to be a roommate at Stanford. And, man, what a cool story. Just, you know, knowing him, knowing the person he is, how hard he's worked, the things he's gone through, man, someone could make a movie about it. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's got a little bit Doolittle in it. Doolittle was kind of a Disney story, mm-hmm. right? He was supposed to be the A's first baseman. Injuries just took it from him. Next thing you know, Sean goes to the A's and says, hey, remember I pitched? Can I just try it?
Yeah.
And he went from just trying it to being here pitching big games next thing you know in the postseason. So, Mark Appel, what he has done coming out of Stanford is pretty. And I love the story listening to him. Like, he has surgery. He gets his body right. Doesn't tell the Phillies until he's ready to come back. So, no one knew.
Yeah.
Right? No one knew what was going on. And the next thing, you know, he calls them up, hey, what do you guys think? And they give him that shot.
Right.
When did you know he's really going to do this at his age?
Yeah, I mean, I remember talking to him, honestly, multiple occasions. You know, there was definitely the surgery, but there were some other points where nagging things and where it was like, are you going to go for it? Are you not? I didn't know until probably a month before he told the Phillies, where he's like, my arm's feeling good. He got on a good workout regimen. His health was there. The velo was there. And I could tell he had, you know, his heart in it. I think early in some of the struggles, it was more of trying to prove people wrong, that he wasn't a bust and all these sorts of things. And none of us have gone through that, right? So we can't judge on how that goes. But it just felt like this time he was doing it for the right reasons. He just wanted to play ball. He wanted to be part of the guys, and he was having fun doing it. So I think that was really what put him over the edge, I think, because he just went out and dealt this year. I mean, he had a 1 in AAA, and he's had a couple scoreless innings in the big league. So it's just awesome.
Yeah, what you just said, it just hit me. You know, in other sports, you know, because I covered NFL, NBA, and everything, when you are the number one overall pick, you have these expectations, everybody know. In baseball, you know, it's Baseball America, people, you're not treated the same. So for him to feel that way, truly as the number one overall pick, I want to prove that I'm not a bust.
Yeah.
You would see that in the NFL and the NBA. You don't hear a lot about that in baseball.
No, and baseball's hard, right? Because you're not in, you know, NFL, NBA, you're drafted first overall. You're going to be in the starting lineup for whatever the professional team you've been drafted by.
And remember, it was a big day on TV when they drafted you, right? Yeah. It's a big production.
Yeah. In baseball, you can go 1-1, but you still got to earn it and go through the minor leagues and do everything. And so, you know, that injuries are tough. You know, I can obviously stand here going through a few to tell you how difficult it is when you're not feeling like yourself to go out there. And I don't know the weight that he was, you know, feeling there, and I can't imagine. So for him to get all that, you know, aside and to continue on and to make this comeback, it's truly incredible.
Let's end on this, because of course recently you guys had your golf tournament, and your father was either on with us or he was on television, and he mentioned the number you guys have raised, the amount of money. Yeah. And it was like, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, we've done a lot. I mean, you guys, the awareness obviously is huge.
Yep.
Remembering your mother, the amount of money you've helped raise to try and fight this.
Yeah.
What does that mean to you?
It means a lot. Yeah, we hit the 1 million mark, which was a huge accomplishment for our group that's been working tirelessly on all sorts of events. And then, you know, there's the fundraising awareness side, and then there's also the research side, which not a lot of people get to see, that my dad is working equally as hard at. And, you know, we've got this roadmap to a cure, and we've funded a few of the little stops on that roadmap. So it's awesome to see progress. You know, there's a lot more to go, but we feel really proud of the work we've done. I know my mom is proud of the work as well.
Well, great stuff. Thank you for stopping by. I know you have a hitters meeting, and it's
great. You're right. He reminded me.
Yeah, it's great to write you in the lineup. It's great to have
awesome.
You back.
Yep, good being back.
We got more coming up next right here on A's Cast Live.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Coliseum has gone by many names, but none better than The Last Dive Bar. Hi, everyone. Ken Korak here, and my friends at Last Dive Bar are helping us celebrate our longtime home. Last Dive Bar has the most unique merchandise for all Oakland baseball fans. T-shirts, sweatshirts, the Ray Fosse line, and my personal favorite, the lights have taken full effect. Visit their website at lastdivebar.com or follow them on social media at Last Dive Bar. All proceeds are invested back into the A's Community Fund and their affiliated charities. Go to lastdivebar.com. That's Last Dive Bar.
A's Cast Live continues from the town. Here's Chris Townsend.
Glenn Kuiper has spent the majority of his career on television, but today it's the biggest moment of his career as he joins A's Cast Live for the first time on video. Don't be nervous. I know you don't have your makeup on yet. You haven't really done the hair, but
you just dropped this on me like 10 seconds ago.
This is a big moment for you.
I gotta suck my gut in a little bit.
I mean, this isn't Comcast, my friend.
I know.
This isn't NBC Sports Bay Area or Fox Sports.
I feel it. A's Cast is a different level. I feel it.
Were you Sports Channel too?
Oh yeah, yeah.
You've been on like everything.
Sports Channel, Fox Sports Net, Comcast, NBC, NBC Sports Bay Area, NBC Sports California. Yeah,
you've done them all. How long have you been on TV in the Bay Area?
1992 was the first year I did anything. I did some pregame show stuff for the Giants. That was the actual first year that I got a paycheck.
You'd be at Cal, you'd be at Sharks, you were everywhere.
Yeah, I'd be at Sharks working. Tani would be at Sharks. I'm not going to say what he was doing. But he stacked his cups.
It was a golden liquid.
Tony, they dropped the puck at 1 o'clock. Why do you have four stacked beers already?
Those are the good old
days. Yeah, they sure are. That was fun.
No responsibility, no wife, no kids. Oh,
man. Sharks games were fun, though. That was fun going down there working. Good scene always.
That was the height of when they dropped the Shark onto the ice. People really went nuts. It was still kind of new.
It was the Owen Nolan era. Yeah. You know,
Jeff Friesen.
Yeah, so that was pretty fun.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Well, this hasn't been real easy this season. What's it been like on the television side?
It's not great. Yeah. But Dallas and I talked about it, you know, as the year has gone on. And listen, the record is what it is, right? But we just kind of said, listen, let's just concentrate on that night's game, right?
Yeah.
As opposed to maybe, hey, what's the pennant race and who's doing this and just that game, right? Let's hope it's a good game, but let's do the best we can with that night's game and not worry about tomorrow or the next day or, you know, pennant race, you know, all that other stuff. And that's helped us, you know. But ultimately, and I really do mean this, you're still doing a big league game,
yeah,
right? You're still announcing a big league game. And the thing that really it kind of annoys Dallas and I, and it's nobody's fault, but you have people come in to the booth, whether we're here or on the road, and say, "Boy, it must be tough." It's like, well, what's
I get that? I get those calls every night.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, it's not that tough, right? It's our job. It's a great job. We know we're lucky to have the job, so it's not that tough. Do we want them to win every night? Absolutely. Is it a little more fun if they win more? Absolutely. But it's not that tough announcing a Major League Baseball game. It's still pretty cool, right? And it's pretty cool for you to talk about Big League Baseball before and after the game. So I get the question when we get asked that, but it's really not that bad. It's pretty good, actually.
So when you guys are on the road, I'm obviously have the home studio. So
yeah, you look good in the studio, by the way.
I go in yesterday. I get on my couch. I got my butt. First inning goes, and I remember I had to do something. My daughter and I come back, and I go, "That's not Frankie Montas."
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm rewinding you guys, going, "What the hell?" And I'm rewinding, and you guys are like,
"We
don't
know."
We
didn't know a lot either. No, I know the velocity was down. We did see that, but that happens sometimes when the game starts. So, and then you're like, "Oh man, then you get scared, right? Because, listen, the trade rumors are going to be around him for the next month, and is there a pretty good chance he may get dealt? Yeah, I think there probably is. But then this happens, and, yeah, you immediately go, oh, man, hope they didn't turn down a good deal for it. You know what I mean? Yeah. You start thinking a lot of different things. But it sounded like they thought he was going to be okay. They didn't think it was anything real serious. That's the only thing I've really heard last night and today. So, but we'll keep our fingers crossed.
Yeah, it since he is this valuable commodity, right, and you know you're going to ship him, mm-hmm. like you want to make sure that when you are going to put him out there for on the trading block, you want everybody to know that he's good, he's fine, he's ready to go for you for this second half. Because if I'm looking at all the teams, and if I need a starter, Billy Bean and David Forrest are the first guys I'm calling.
Yeah, he's been really, really good. And you're right, and now – you need to make sure he's healthy. And I think teams are going to now say, hey, okay, I need to see at least one start from him before the trade deadline to prove that he's healthy. So that's sort of what this little injury, even though it may not be really serious, I think it does set you back a start or two from showcasing him to these other teams, because every start he had this year was pretty darn good. Well, now they're going to want to see one or two more just to prove that he's healthy. And if he shows that he's healthy, I think there's probably going to be a deal there at some point that's probably too good to pass up.
Well, and I've thought about this yesterday trying to be positive. I was like, you know what? Even if you didn't deal him now,
sure,
he's still going to be the biggest piece out there in the offseason. Now you got a full offseason. Now you like to get these desperate GMs at the deadline to start bidding against each other, but they'll still be there in the offseason looking for somebody.
Yeah. Or it just takes one desperate GM at the trade deadline if somebody goes down. So that's why I think there'll probably be a deal there to be had, one that the A's will like. But you're right. If there isn't, you take a look in the offseason or you keep him, right? He's not a free agent, so he could lead your staff next year. So – the A's are in a good spot with Frankie Montas. I think whatever they do, they're probably going to come out ahead.
You know, one thing that I talk a lot about, whether it's on this show or it's pregame show, postgame show, is what gets me excited. And I talked to Nick Allen earlier today, and I said, keep doing what you're doing. Bunt.
Yeah.
Run.
Oh, it's great.
Do different things.
Yeah.
Like, this is what can excite us. I mean, because we played 81 games, right? This is what can excite us in the second half is – Jonah Bride's working out right over here trying to get back healthy. Let's see some younger guys and see what they can do. Wouldn't you say that's what gives you a little juice coming
to
the ballpark?
No question. The Nick Allen thing has been a lot of fun. Listen, he's a smaller guy. You sort of pull for him, but there's a scrappiness to him. And he's a pretty good little player. And I think he has a chance, I think, to be an everyday player in the big leagues. Now, is he going to hit 15, 16 home runs? Probably not. But – like you said, he does some different things offensively that I think can help you. And defensively, you know, there's no issues there. He looks pretty good around the bag on both sides of the bag at short and second. So, yeah, we're kind of excited about him. I think it's great, and I'm glad that they've got him up here. And more importantly, playing him every day. See what he's got. You know, we're looking to the future, right? And, you know, what Elvis – probably not going to be around next year. You know, there you go. So he's been fun to watch. I hope he keeps it up. But you're right. Do all those little things you're doing. Throw down a bunt once a game, right? Swipe a bag. I mean, that's
keep him honest.
And I think that, too, is that's the kind of player that we're sort of looking forward to seeing, right? Our own guy, we drafted him, get him up here, and then he's got a little scrappiness to him. I like that. So I think it's great. I hope he – has a 10-year career here.
Well, if anybody knows about playing up the middle infield, it's you, going back to your days, as even Jack McKeon said, biggest mistake the Padres ever made was keeping Roberto Alomar over you.
Absolutely. Well, I told him that.
Yeah.
I said, Jack, that's a big mistake.
You had the legacy. You had the name.
He's like, who are you? Who are you?
Carlos Baerga, Joey Cora, Kiper.
Yes.
But you can tell, as someone who, played professionally, you can tell when someone's got the leather out there.
Oh,
right?
They got the look. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, Nick Allen, it doesn't take long. It takes two ground balls, and you can tell he's got it. But he's got good feet. He's got the good quick hands. He's got a good strong arm at second base, which is important, right? So, he's got all the tools to be a big leaguer. There's no doubt about it.
And, by the way, Elvis, I know we all want to throw dirt on him on the postgame show, but Elvis, and especially against the Mariners, he hits home runs against the Mariners. I mean, Elvis can still play.
Yep, there's no question about it. Elvis is fine. Listen, he's been around a long time. There's nothing he hasn't seen, and that can help the young players. He can be very helpful, not just to the younger Latin players, but to the American players as well. He's a guy you can go to, man, and say, hey, what about this? I mean, he's played 13, 14 years, and he is still a good player. I like Elvis a lot. I wish fans wouldn't dump on him because there's a lot more to Elvis than, you know, just his batting average, and he can really help these young kids, Jonah Bride, Nick Allen. Man, you're playing right next to Elvis Andrus. Think how much he knows. And I'd sit right next to him and ask him a ton of questions every day.
So you were just at Yankee Stadium. We're now seeing the Blue Jays. Just talk about the energy that's around this AL East that we haven't traveled with the team in years. So we out in the West, it's the Astros and everybody else is pretty much done. I mean, just what is the intensity? What is the AL East like right
now? It's awesome. I mean, we were in New York, and it's always a great scene there anyways. But they're feeling it, right? They have this ridiculous record. But you look at these standings, and there's a really good chance you're going to have four teams from the AL.
Yes.
Right? I don't have a problem with that. I mean, listen, they're the best teams, right? They're the outside of the Yankees, they're the three best wild card teams. I would have no problem with those four teams all making it, and I think there's a pretty good chance that they will. So they're going to start playing each other a little bit more now, too. You know, so that's going to be fun to watch. So it'll be interesting to see how these not the Yankees, but these three other teams, the Red Sox and the Blue Jays, and the Rays, to see how they handle the final 2.5 months. Because, they're going to be fighting for, you know, you want that number one wild card. You get a home series, right?
Yeah.
That's a big deal. So, I mean, you think about the Blue Jays. The difference is playing that three-game series at Fenway or playing it at home. That's a big deal, right? So there's a lot to play for. And, the AL East is fun. It's the big boy division, right? So, we've been to all three of those places, all four of them. We've been to Tampa as well. So they're all really good teams, but in different ways, you know. So I think it's great.
What I love about it is, like, everybody, whether it's MLB Network or ESPN, everybody's wanted to crown the Yankees the champions already. It's like, no, you don't understand. These other AL East teams, they don't care. And once you get in the playoffs, everybody's 0-0. Yeah. They play at Yankee Stadium all the time. They don't have, oh, it's Yankee Stadium. Yeah. Yeah. That's what, like, if it's a bunch of AL East teams and it's like a bunch of hungry dogs in an alley fighting for one state.
Well, that's right. That's a great point. Those teams in the AL East, like the Blue Jays, they're not going to be intimidated by the Yankees because we play them 18, 19 times. And you know who else isn't intimidated by the Yankees? It's the Houston Astros, right? The Astros are like, we'll go to Yankee Stadium. It doesn't matter to us. So
they'll go over to take on the Mets, too.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think I like what's going on in the American League because you do have that one team that is standing out, the Yankees. But you have these other teams that are really, really good. And there is no shoo-in that the Yankees are going to walk right to the World Series at all. I think they're going to have their hands full when that time comes with all those teams, whoever they may play.
You know, it's going to be interesting, too. I mean, and you guys were just in there, Cleveland.
Yep.
You know, Cleveland is now become the king of the walk-offs and what they did to Minnesota. Minnesota is good. But you mentioned the Astros. And now that we're getting away more and more from Jeffrey Lou now and that whole cheating scandal and that whole time with A.J. Hinch, and now there's a lot of new guys, there's just an appreciation for their development. Because it's not about we've been doing it here on this show. It's not about the tank drafts anymore. They've gotten all these guys international signings. Yeah. They are just, when you look at how they can beat you with starters, with bullpen, with their lineup, they can beat you with power, they can beat you with contact, they can beat you with speed. I mean, a complete team. The Dodgers seem to be that way. Yeah. I mean, I have appreciation now. I can get away with my anger from the Astros a little bit. How about you? And just kind of appreciate how good the Astros are.
I agree. I'm not into the whole hating other teams because I think it's a little bit of a waste of energy. You have to respect these teams. And you have to give the Astros their due. You think about it. They lose Springer. They don't care. They lose Correa. They don't care, right? They lose Greinke. They don't care. They lose Gerrit Cole. They don't care. I mean, you think about those guys that they have lost the last 3 or 4 years. It hasn't slowed them down. These are star players, and they're like, no, we're moving on. We're going to pick and choose who we want to sign. Got a star shortstop now, a guy who's got a chance to win the Rookie of the Year. You know, so you have to respect what they do. It's a well-run organization. They know who to keep, who not to keep, and they just keep bringing up young players, and they got the veteran players that are still really good. So as hard as it may be for a lot of people, especially A's fans, you have to respect what the Astros have done to remain good this long, and they will continue to be good. I mean, there's no end in sight to their success, I don't think.
Yeah, you just mentioned Pena as a guy that could be Rookie of the Year. That guy you just saw in Seattle, Julio Rodriguez, I really don't like him as a player. I don't know.
You don't see it?
I don't know about his future.
I asked my partner Dallas Braden the other day. I said, I'm going to stump you. You got 10 seconds. Who would you take right now, Julio Rodriguez or Bobby Witt Jr.? And he was like, oh, my God, and I counted him down, 9, 8. And he said, Julio Rodriguez over Bobby Witt Jr. Now, again, it's 6-1, half dozen of the other. You're going to get a star either way. But there,
at a premium
there
position,
was something – like we've seen Rodriguez now, and there's something about him that – like where you can envision a superstar. You can see it. I think with Bobby Witt, you can kind of see it maybe. This guy, he's already doing it. And he's crushing the A's, which is a killer, right?
Yeah.
It's going to keep happening. He's the real deal.
He's pretty fun. One of his home runs, he's rounding first, and he's looking out to center field, and he's smiling, and he did some hand gesture, and he's rounding second. And I'm watching that. I'm like going, that guy's a rookie?
Yeah.
That's what a star.
Good
looking.
And fun. He's having fun. Yeah.
I'm like, that's this guy. And to think, I'm reading these notes going, well, we haven't seen that since A-Rod or Griffey, or going, how do they get these guys?
And, you know, he's got a big smile on his face, and he doesn't really play like a rookie. He plays like he's been around a while. And he's a lot of fun, and they love him up there. I mean, they got to chant Julio, and it starts roaring. So that's their next guy. That's their next Ichiro. You know, the guy they're going to anoint.
We have one of those guys. I want a 21-year-old or a 22-year-old. Where's our 23-year-old? Oh, they're in Midland. Behind us, we'll end on this. No, you got to go. Behind us, Matt Chapman's taking ground balls. Chappie's back. I know you guys, for us, it's new. You guys got to see him in Toronto.
We saw him, and that was right away. Right at the, it was like the second or third series. So we did get to talk to him. It was great. He's such a good dude. We had a nice chat with him. He got married in the off season. He told us about his wedding and how much fun it was. And he said, and again, that was really early in the year, but he said that he was enjoying it already in Toronto, and I think he likes it. You know, nice city, good team. So we wish Matt Chapman the best. He's an impossible guy to not like, right? It's just, I mean, he's a sweetheart, and he talked with us for, 20-25 minutes when we were there. So we wish he was still here, but how can you not pull for the guy, right? I mean, he's great.
Do you guys have any special plans 4th of July on television to tease here on your biggest new?
I can't tell you.
No, it's that big?
No. Actually, we were gonna maybe talk about Cody a little bit in the umbrella.
I'm sunburnt. He's fine. Yeah. When you guys pull out the bag, one more before you gotta go. When you guys pull out, because we're kind of the same era, right? When you start pulling out the baseball cards, those are the guys of our era.
I know. And you know what? Like, I try to pick, like, guys from the 70s because I can stump my partner. You know, the, like, Bake McBride, you know?
Dallas. Give me late, late 70s, yeah. early in the 80s
Absolutely.
Is my wheelhouse.
Yep, that's right. That's right. And there is a – it has to be a certain score, certain time of the game for us to pull the baseball
True.
Cards out. So
True.
If we see the baseball cards, that means the scoreboard is really not what we want to see. But we're also looking to have a little fun, which, you know, we do try to do that occasionally. So thanks for the props on the baseball cards.
Just know this. I'm always watching.
Yeah, I know you are.
I'm always watching.
I feel your
watching.
Presence. It makes me a little nervous.
And every single time you guys promote A's Cast, I get this warm, fuzzy feeling. I'm like, thank you.
Well,
thank
now
you,
that we get
you.
To see you, that makes A's Cast even better because we see you in your studio.
And I will see you on the 12th and 13th. I'll be in with whoever, Stu, or
okay, awesome.
That.
Good.
But, hey,
thanks,
thank
buddy.
You. Thank you for everything
anytime,
that you do.
Anytime.
You promoting us is
oh,
huge.
No,
it means a lot.
We will continue. Anything you need, man, because you guys, we're all in it together.
And
we're
I want you to keep letting everybody know I'm getting screwed down here in the sun.
Yeah,
and he's in the umbrella.
Yeah, my forehead is baked already, but looks like Cody's good.
Cody's fine. Cody's got a 4th.
He's fine.
He's got a 4th of July. He's got ribs. Yeah. He's got potato salad back here. We're sweating, and he's fine. He's
All
fine.
Right. See you, buddy.
All right, we got more coming up next right here on A's Cast Live.
The Coliseum has gone by many names, but none better than the Last Dive Bar. Hi, everyone. Ken Korak here, and my friends at Last Dive Bar are helping us celebrate our longtime home. Last Dive Bar has the most unique merchandise for all Oakland baseball fans. T-shirts, sweatshirts, the Ray Fosse line, and my personal favorite, the lights have taken full effect. Visit their website at lastdivebar.com or follow them on social media at Last Dive Bar. All proceeds are invested back into local Bay Area charities. Go to lastdivebar.com. That's Last Dive Bar.
A's Cast Live continues from the town. Here's Chris Townsend.
Hey, Cody, did you see my TV hit yesterday on NBC Sports California after the game?
Yeah, it was about the Astros, right?
Oh, you didn't see it?
No.
Why didn't you see it?
I took a rare full day off. Actually, no, I still made sure I posted your post-game show for everyone to download.
Why didn't you see it?
Because I went to Santa Cruz.
Oh, there's a cat. There's the kitty.
He's back again.
The kitty's back. The A's Cast Live kitty, yes. The whole cat thing here. There's a cat. Cat's now in the
The cat is on the field.
Oh, the poor cat. The cat is now in the dugout. And now everybody's looking at the cat. And here comes the cat. Will the cat make its appearance? Oh, no, the cat's now
back
under the stand. Yeah. The cats have to be saying, listen, all these years you had Raiders, you had A's. Raiders left. You had the pandemic. We had the place to ourselves. What's the deal with you coming back? And now the cat's got to deal with all the people coming, well, the people that do come out. I mean, the cats are a little, you know, traumatized. Right?
I would think so. I mean, you saw him. He ran through the dugout, came back up, and then went right back under.
Okay, so I asked the question yesterday to Stu and Brody.
Friends of the program, by the way.
Definitely friends of the program. So the Astros against the Angels over the weekend in three games struck out 48 batters. The Astro pitchers struck out 48 Angels. That's what, 16 a game? 16 a game?
That'd be 16 times 3 would be 16, 16, 3. Yes.
Okay. I asked to them, is that greatness? Because back in the day, you'd be like, oh, my God, that's an insane
amount. Oh, you asked me this question. You texted me this question, too. I was sitting in the lawn chair.
Yeah, but you didn't watch it because you were – yeah, he was at the beach. Is this A, greatness? Is this B, sad? Or is this D
– C.
Or C, yeah. Or is this C, both?
So the answer is both. It's greatness. Let me break it down for you real quick. The Astros.
I think it's B. I think it's sad.
Well, the
Trout had like 6 of them looking.
Yes, 6 of them looking without even swinging the bat on the third strike.
Well, that's what strikeout looking is.
That's embarrassing to have that many strikeouts without swinging the bat, like on the third strike. The Astros' bullpen is also the best in baseball. So that's one. Their starting rotation is one of the best in baseball. Oh, and wait for it. The Angels strike out more than anybody in Major League Baseball.
That's why it's sad.
Yeah, but
this is sad.
The Astros' bullpen, I have the numbers. Their bullpen is, let's see, they have the number one team ERA in baseball at 2.89. That's the best in Major League Baseball. They have a 2.10 opponent's batting average overall for their team. That's first in baseball. They have a 2.64 bullpen ERA. That's first in baseball. What they're doing is great, but what the Angels are doing right now is not great. That's why one of my buying or selling questions, which I'll just give to you right now. Let me pull it up.
Bobby Witt Jr. or Julio Rodriguez. Who would you take?
I'd take Julio. Look what he's doing with the Mariners. I mean, look at the Mariners' success with him.
What does it matter? It's just 1 year.
But
in 10 years, if Bobby Witt Jr. is like the next Alex Rodriguez, you're going to look like a fool.
What if he's the next Alex Rodriguez, though, for Seattle?
Well, that's possible, but what if he's just an outfielder that hits a couple home runs and
– like most guys anymore?
I mean, it's not like Julio is not hitting 340.
No, but he's also hitting a lot better than Bobby Witt Jr. is.
Bobby Witt Jr.'s got great skill set at shortstop.
I think I saw a stat today. I could be wrong. If Julio Rodriguez reaches 15 homers and 20 stolen bases, he'll be the first player in the expansion era to get there before the All-Star break as a rookie.
The what?
15 home runs and 20 steals as a rookie.
Yeah, because it was him and Trout in the wild card era to have 20 steals, 20 bombs.
Yeah, it's incredible what he's doing. So, speaking of Trout.
I mean, the greatness of Claywood right here. The greatness. The man that makes this field look the way it does.
Trout, as you mentioned, Trout struck out 7 straight times in the first 2 games. And then he finally popped out. I think he popped out. He popped out to extend his skid to 0 for 14. He's having a good year. He's hitting .272 with 23 homers, 47 RBI. But that was the second longest slump of the year, the 0 for 14. He had one earlier this year, 0 for 26. Struck out 9 times in the series. Buying or selling? Mike Trout is declining. I gotta give the dramatic pause there.
I am selling that. I am going to sell that. And I just wonder now, have we put Mike Trout on such a pedestal because of analytics that when you start looking at certain numbers and you go, well, if he is so great, and channeling my inner Chris Mad Dog Russo, why hasn't he led the league in RBIs? Why hasn't he done all these different – you look at the all-time greats, if he led home runs or RBIs, or you accumulated a bunch of these stats, and you could say this is where he was this. You know, basically Mike Trout has been lumped – his greatness has been lumped into one number. What's that number?
War.
War. That's where his greatness has been. It's like all the stuff that he does. But then, you know, you can watch games where you'll say, Mike Trout doesn't throw all that great at a center field.
No, he's not a
So that takes you away from the five-tool guy. Does he steal a ton of bases anymore?
No.
No. So it's like he is going to be a Hall of Famer. That's already done.
Well, people already said he could be a Hall of Famer today if he retired.
He's got an over 70 WAR right now.
Yeah, it's
going to. He is a creature of I would say he's a creature of modern day baseball. He's not going to be the guy that's got 60 home runs, 50 home runs. He's not driving in 140. He's not doing the crazy. But what you're going to do is look at his all around game. We don't even know how you calculate WAR, but we're all just accepting that WAR is a major stat and really matters, and he is the king of WAR. So he is an over 70 WAR now. He is going to be a Baseball Hall of Famer. It's just, you know, the question is, you know, is he the upper echelon? You know, when you talk about a player like Hank Aaron who has 3,700 hits – and over 700 home runs. Is he ever going to be that guy?
No, I have his number. I pulled up his number because I wanted to see. He has an 80 WAR exactly right now.
Well, that's going to put – I mean, he's in the Hall of Fame now. If he never plays again, he's in the Hall of Fame.
333 career homers, a .303 career batting average, 203 steals, over 1,000 runs scored, 863 RBI, a 1,002 That's 1.002 career OPS, a 176 OPS plus. And the only blemish on his career is never won a playoff game. It's not all his fault.
Didn't hit in that sweep to the Kansas City Royals. He didn't hit either.
Yeah, his stats in that playoff, he was 1 for 12 in that series with a home run.
That is really tough in baseball to put an entire team on one player. It really is. But at some point, I think there was an article last night, and it was real late, and I was looking at The Athletic where they were talking about, you know, Trout's like, hey, we work hard, we do this, we do it. But you just see that the Angels just don't have it every single year. And that's why I've brought up the discussion. I think it's at least legitimate to discuss when you look at Shohei Ohtani on a team that's now 12 and a half games back, and one night he hits two home runs. You know, 2 days later he strikes out 10. You go, hey, no one else can do that. But you go, wait a minute. When they lost 14 straight, was that one off the franchise record, or did that tie the franchise record?
That's a good question. I don't remember the
whatever. They lost
14 straight, yeah.
They lost 14 straight. They were hell on wheels. Everybody's talking about them being in the postseason. Ohtani hit 209 and had two bad starts. He did zero for them in those 14 games. And in those 14 games, you sunk my battleship. Their season was over.
Yeah,
so when they needed you most, they now that you're hitting two bombs in a game and striking out 10 the next day, your season's over, doesn't matter. When they needed you most, Trout and Ohtani did nothing during that 14-game losing streak.
No,
they both were bad.
I was going to go somewhere.
And some people will say what I'm saying is not fair. But, okay, so Aaron Judge continues to carry his team day after day after day. Well, he doesn't pitch. But, yeah, he's doing it for a team that's winning every day.
We were talking about a team. Not to change, but I just got the notification. They were down 5-0, and they came back to win the game 7-6 on a Yordan Alvarez solo home run to win it on a walk-off. The Astros won again. Down 5-0 against Kansas City, they came back to win again. They're running. I asked the question last time we were here. Buying or selling the AL West is over. That was like 2 weeks ago. Now it's even, 13.5 now they're leading over Texas because Texas lost today?
Here, I'm going to do something real, real simple for Cody. It's called math and history. I'm going to give you math and history.
You're going to give me outliers.
1973, the New York Mets on July 4th. 1973, where were you?
Negative 15 years
old. I was 1 year old.
Remember that? This team went to the World Series.
They were in 11.5 games back. That's the largest anyone has ever been back on the 4th of July and come back to win their division, 11.5. Second is your Oakland Athletics. In 2012, the Athletics were 10.5 games back, and they did the famous comeback to reel in the Rangers last day of the year. Right now, where we stand, I have the numbers.
I can update it for you, too, when you're done.
Mariners came into today down 13.5.
Now 14.
Rangers 13.5.
Now it's 14.5 because they lost and the Astros won.
Angels 15.5.
Now 16.
So your question really should be, can any of the AL West teams have the biggest comeback in the history of Major League Baseball from July 4th on? And the answer is
no.
I'm selling will not happen.
Yeah, the Mariners are 39-42. They're playing a lot better as of late. The Angels are 7-under. The Rangers just blew a game today to Baltimore on a walk-off. Wait for it. First time in Orioles history, a walk-off hit by pitch. That's how the Orioles won the game. Adley Rutschman tied it in the ninth. Another impressive rookie. They've been playing well since he came up. But, yeah, I think that division's – that one's done.
We won't do buying. We'll do an over and under. Over and under one home run in the next 3 days for Matt Chapman.
Over.
You think it's more than one home run?
You know what? Push. I'll say one. He'll get one.
No. Over under. It wasn't over under push. It was
over
under.
Over.
Okay. I'm going under.
Okay, we'll see.
Let's go. 3 days against the Blue Jays.
By the way, Vladdy was just taking batting practice. My God.
Who?
Vladdy hits the ball hard.
Who?
He really does hit the ball hard.
I don't care who your dad is. I don't care if Dante Bichette was your dad. I don't care if Craig Biggio was your dad. Bring it, Blue Jays. Now they're an exciting team. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch. We used to call them the Baby Jays. They're not babies anymore. So I got to get out of here, right?
Correct.
All right. Thank you for listening, and thank you for watching A's Cast Live. The great Dan Schulman stopped by from the Toronto Blue Jays. We had Stephen Piscotty. We had Glenn Kuiper, the face of A's baseball on television. Now, quickly, Kent Korak stopped by, but we're not going to count that because Kent's coming back tomorrow.
Correct. We're supposed to have Chappie tomorrow at some point.
That was just like a little warm-up set.
Yeah.
So, and Matt Chapman will join us tomorrow. What time's the show tomorrow?
Back to our normal time, 4 to 5, 5:20-ish.
Back at 4 o'clock tomorrow, Matt Chapman, Ken Korak, who else?
Hopefully Emo.
And Scott Emerson. Thank you, everybody, for listening. What are we going to play here?
The Build with Dave Cavill.
The Build with Dave Cavill. Ooh, about the big vote with the port. And I'll be back in about 10 with A's Total Access, brought to you by Chevron. Thank you, everybody, for listening and watching to A's Cast Live.
The Coliseum has gone by many names, but none better than The Last Dive Bar. Hi, everyone. Ken Korak here, and my friends at Last Dive Bar are helping us celebrate our longtime home. Last Dive Bar has the most unique merchandise for all Oakland baseball fans. T-shirts, sweatshirts, the Ray Fosse line, and my personal favorite, the lights have taken full effect. Visit their website at lastdivebar.com or follow them on social media at Last Dive Bar. All proceeds are invested back into the A's Community Fund and their affiliated charities. Go to lastdivebar.com. That's Last Dive Bar.
This has been a presentation of the Oakland Athletics.